Wolf, get away from those sheep.
Bollocks.
You're listening to the Wolf and the Shepherd podcast, broadcasting from Fort Worth in the great state of Texas. Now, get ready for this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd.
Welcome to this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd. Today we have with us Tim O'Hare, who's running for Tarrant County Judge. Tim, glad you could join us today.
It is great to be here. Good to meet you both.
Yeah, absolutely. And on short notice, so glad you could fit us in our schedule. You know, we've got this election coming up, and there's probably a lot of questions from people. And honestly, I've got a bunch of questions too. But the first question just right out of the gate is, what exactly does the Tarrant County judge do?
Perfect question. So prior to the pandemic, nobody knew what a county judge did. It was the most underappreciated and unknown position, probably in politics. It is potentially one of the most powerful positions in politics. So 254 counties in the state of Texas, every one of them has a commissioner's court. And the commissioner's court is made up of the county judge, who's the presiding judge, and then four commissioners. So every county in Texas is divided up into four precincts. So you have five-member court, county judge presides over it, four county commissioners. The county judge, as the presiding officer, can set the agenda, although not exclusively, runs the meetings, has some powers, which we'll get to in a second, that until the pandemic, nobody knew they had. In Tarrant County, it's an incredibly powerful position because we're talking about almost a $2 billion budget, and it only takes three votes to pass it or not pass it.
Wow.
So county judge, in addition to presiding over the commissioner's court, which meets once a week, is one of three people that votes on huge segments of our government. So county government is the sheriff's department, the district attorney's office, the civil courts, the criminal courts, the tax assessor's office. You control the budgets of all of those departments, which are some really large governmental entities, departments of themselves. And then, of course, you appoint people to the hospital district board, and you control the tax rate, the county tax rate, and then the hospital district tax rate. In terms of those emergency powers, as we learned during the pandemic, county judge had power to close down businesses, declare one essential over another, require limited gatherings. And I mean, it's a pretty powerful position that before that, most people didn't know what it was. County judge in some counties, not Tarrant County, actually has some judicial functions. In Tarrant County, none. Zero judicial functions. A lot of people think it's somebody sitting in a black robe behind a bench with juries. No courtroom. Best way to look at it, this is the mayor of the county is the best way to describe the position. It's named because that's what it was named decades and decades ago when that position did perform a lot of judicial functions. And in some counties, they still do, but not in Tarrant County.
Right. So is that just, like you say, just kind of basically from history, the county judge in Tarrant County was a judge, but then also perform these functions as well?
I am sure at some time or another there were judicial functions for the county judge in Tarrant County. There hasn't been for decades.
Gotcha.
Many years.
One of the descriptions that I read about a county judge is actually he's kind of the chief executive of the county.
Yes.
Which was another way that it was put to me.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. I mean, it's everybody's familiar with mayor of the county, I mean, of the city. I mean, it's basically the county mayor, and with Tarrant County, you're talking 2.1 million people, so it's a big role. The amazing piece of it is, you know, with the kind of budget, the kind of numbers we're talking about, you know, for a governor to pass a budget, it requires votes from two legislative chambers. Here, I mean, it's three people. So when you're the county judge, you have to have two other votes to pass a budget or fail a budget. I mean, it's a very powerful position that has flown under the radar for years in the state of Texas.
Mm. Right. Now, how much of a support staff do you have? Because when you were listing all those responsibilities, I'll be honest, by about item three or four, I felt overburdened with responsibilities. So, I mean, do you have, like,
staff?
Yeah, I mean, how much assistance do you get with all this?
Well, that's a good question. So you don't, as the county judge, you don't manage the sheriff's department. You control their budget. So who manages the sheriff's department is the sheriff. And Sheriff Bill Wayburn, who's a great man and a strong supporter of mine, you know, would handle his own department. Sharon Wilson, who is a great DA here in Tarrant County, Sharon Wilson would run the district attorney's office. And Tom Wilder would run the district clerk's office. So you control the budget. You don't control those things. In terms of actual number of employees that report directly to you, there's five employees that report directly to the county judge, where the mm-hmm. county judge supervises them, is responsible for their day-to-day work. Contrast that with Collin County. So Tarrant County is the largest Republican-governed county government in the state of Texas. The second largest is Collin County. So our current county judge, Glenn Whitley, has five staff members that report to him. Collin County judge has zero. So now, with the commissioner's court, county judge being one of five votes, the county administrator, which would be equivalent to the city manager for a city, the county administrator is in charge of the personnel and the benefits and all those things, basically runs that side of it, non-elected official. The county judge is basically, you look at it as one-fifth of the county administrator's boss.
Right, okay.
And so it takes three people to, and it's always three with commissioner's court in every county in Texas, it takes three people to hire the county administrator, three people to fire the county administrator. So county administrator sort of works for you, but then also works for the other members of the commissioner's court.
So what are the qualifications to be a judge in Tarrant County or the Tarrant County judge?
So interestingly, you do not have to have any legal experience at all. Although I'm a lawyer, that is not required. And I think having a lawyer as county judge or on the commissioner's court is really important, even though people don't like lawyers a lot of times. Just understanding the way law is made, understanding what can happen in court settings and appellate court decisions, just understanding how to word things when you're passing stuff or how not to word things sometimes, really important, but not a qualification. Qualification, I think you got to be over the age of 18, eligible to vote in the United States and a resident of the county for at least a year. I'm not aware of any other qualifications, although there may be something that says, you know, I mean, I meet them all just because I'm old enough for what I do, but
right.
There may be some. You gotta
have a few gray hairs that's up there.
I got them all right here and scattered throughout.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it is kind of that misnomer because you do hear and kind of reiterate, you hear the word judge and you immediately think dude in a black robe or woman in a black robe, right? Making all these decisions, sitting up high on the bench, you know, like a pharmacist, you know, just got to sit a little bit above everybody for some bizarre reason. But this being a judge and you don't have to be a lawyer, that was shocking to me. I mean, I did a little bit of research behind that. I was like, how can you be a judge and not be a lawyer first? I guess that's a misnomer that most people have.
Yeah. So, we have some ads on Facebook and Instagram that go around, you know, trying to build your name ID and make people aware of your campaign. And so I regularly...
That's how I got in touch with you.
Is it? That, okay.
That's how I
you
found
saw the
it
ad?
On Facebook.
All right.
Yep. So it worked.
Good, good. That was $1.10 well spent.
All right. Yeah, there you go.
So we have... I get messages, you know, through Facebook from people or on these ads. So one of the ads we have right now talks about, hey, if you want to try to stop critical race theory... let us know, you know, just come go to my website or, you know, whatever the ad says. And it's amazing how people put on there what kind of judge would put his opinion out before they saw a case. Just people don't know what it is.
Yeah.
They know now more than they ever have before because of how much influence the county judge can have, and especially with who we have in our neighbor to the east, with Democrat Clay Jenkins. I mean, he has now become... in this area, very well known, takes very public positions, regular press releases, regular press conferences. And so people, we have had a pretty quiet group of county judges in the DFW Metroplex for many years, certainly in Dallas County that has changed. And it's changed a little bit in Collin County also, very conservative judge over there named Chris Hill, who is not afraid of putting out statements and having his name in the paper.
Sure. No, that makes sense. Going over your platform, if we can just kind of hit these, I've got it bullet pointed out here. And okay. So I want to offer you just kind of a little bit of time on each one of these points to just kind of hit the highlights, hit the details, you know, what you're running based off of, you know, the typical political person's platform. Okay. So item number one, and I'm going to go ahead and say these are in no particular order, but these were in the order that you had them listed. Okay. So I don't know if that was on purpose, like this is the most important one, or if that's just the way it looked pretty on the website.
Yeah, so, I don't think it was purposely put up there. Yeah,
gotcha. So responsible and representative government. I mean, I think there's not a soul in the United States that wouldn't want responsible government, right? I mean, we're electing you folks to take care of us and serve us, so who wouldn't want that?
Yeah, I think everybody would answer they want it. The question is, do we have it? And so frequently we don't. So responsible government, take Tarrant County, for example. So county tax rate in Tarrant County, you combine, and we're just talking about just that the county government controls. We're not talking about any school district taxes. We're not talking about any city taxes. We're not talking about water district taxes or community college district. What the actual county government, this five-member commissioner's court, controls is the county property tax rate and the hospital district property tax rate. If you combine those two, we're a little bit over 45 cents per $100 of value. Make that sound even simpler. If you have a home valued at $100,000 with no exemptions of any kind, you would pay a little over $450 to the county annually in property taxes. So we're as I said a minute ago, the largest Republican county in the state. Collin County's number two. And we have about 1 million more people in Collin County. But Collin County's property tax rate is 17 cents per 100. So you do some quick math in your head. I think you'll find that our overall county tax rate is about 2.5 times the second largest Republican county's tax rate. So if you guys live in Tarrant County, every year you get your, I mean, it's really true for all over the Metroplex of the state, but you get your notice in May and you look at it and you say, oh my gosh, what have they done to me this year? To say that property taxes are out of control, I think is not hyperbole. There are people that live in the county that truly can't afford to stay in their homes because of the taxes that were charged. And we have people at the state level that like to tout, well, we don't have a state income tax. I would argue with you that technically we don't have a state income tax, but we do have small business taxes that effectively act like income taxes on small business owners. But our property taxes are just gargantuan. And with appraisals going up every year, what you have happen, so you'll have your city council or your school district, or even sometimes your county governments, they'll cut the tax rate by 0.5 cent. So if your tax rate is 45 cents per $100, they'll knock it down to 44.5 cents per $100. And then they go around touting how they cut your taxes. But because your appraisal went up, your taxes went up, so you really didn't have a tax cut at all, but that's what they like to say. So the first thing about responsible government is living within your means and not overtaxing people. And just the nature of government is to grow. That's what it does. At every level, you look at it, and it's always growing, and it's always adding new programs, and it's always expanding. And, you know, we have to take a really hard look at what is the role of government. Now, there are some people on, I guess, our side of the aisle that, you know, think we should get rid of 98% of government. I'm not anti-government. We need government. I am just anti the growth and addition of new programs and new this and new this all the time at every level. And responsible government is also dealing with wastefulness. The number typically of most governments, the number of employees that they have, way more than they need. The benefits a lot of times that they pay are way more than the private sector pays. So being responsible is understanding that the money that is collected comes from hardworking people comes from retired people that have spent their whole lives in Tarrant County, and now they're having to fund the government. And you have to spend wisely, you have to tax wisely, and you have to be responsible. So that's what the responsible part means. The representative, we've all felt this at one time or another, and that is they're not listening to us. And there is absolutely, in this country, there is a mindset amongst some elected officials, there's an elected class, mm-hmm. and they know best.
Right.
And they know what we need, and they know what we ought to have happen. So when you stand up and say, well, we need to take voter fraud seriously, we need to take ballot integrity seriously, oh no, we've got this under control, we know what it is, that's what I mean by representative. That you actually listen to people and you try to meet the needs of what is actually out there being said by people, not just what you think. And, you know, if you believe the way I do, the purpose of government is to protect our God-given rights. It is not to solve every problem for every person and every group and every this and every that. And we have too many people in office that think that government's supposed to solve all problems and make everything equal. Government's supposed to make sure that it doesn't get in the way of our God-given rights and doesn't create an environment where it is unequal for opportunity. Mm-hmm. And if opportunity's equal, then it's done its job.
Sure. Now, I'm sure that most of the listeners to this podcast will already be followers of yours, supporters of yours. But just to contrast, could you, with those examples you've just given us, really basically educate everybody on what the other side would be proposing if they suddenly switched to a Democratic judge?
Well, I'll even take you one deeper than that. So I'm running for county judge, and I'm right now in the Republican primary. So right now the election is scheduled for March 1st. Mm-hmm. With redistricting, and for the listeners that don't know what that is, it is the state legislature in October, based on the new census, is going to get together and they're going to redraw districts for state House of Representatives, state Senate, and U.S. Congress, U.S. House of Representatives. And when they do that, because Republicans are in charge of the state, when the governor's office, you know, the whole nine yards, control the legislature, they'll control redistricting. So after they release their plan, what's going to happen is Democrats are going to challenge it. It's going to go into the courts. Then there's going to be some back and forth. Courts are going to say, you got to redraw this and you can't do this. And eventually we'll have something signed off on and we'll have a primary. So as of now, it's primary scheduled for March 1st. Likely not to happen March 1st from everything we're hearing, but Governor Abbott still swears that he's going to try to have it done by March 1st. So we'll see. So you got to win the primary. You win the primary, then you go to the general election in November of 22 if you're the Republican nominee, and then you're going against the Democrats. So there are multiple people that have come out and said they're running for county judge. Mm-hmm. Without trying to sound like pompous jerk here, the two biggest names are me and former Fort Worth Mayor Betsy Price. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of other people that have announced they're going to run. And, you know, at the end of the day, nobody has filed to run yet because we're not to the filing time.
Right.
We'll see what happens when we get to the filing time, which should be later this year. But you got to go through the primary first. So my chief primary opponent, Betsy Price, has raised money for Planned Parenthood, while she was in office, Fort Worth went from solid Republican to solid Democrat. While she was in office, taxes in Fort Worth rose an average of 43% during her 10 years as mayor. While she was in Fort Worth, she went and lobbied Congress for stricter gun control laws. She has come out as mayor and wanting Joe Biden's multi-trillion-dollar infrastructure plan to pass. She has taken a lot of positions it's not just political argument. I mean, she's taken a lot of positions that fly in the face of what most Republicans believe.
Right.
So I would even tell you that the way she views government, I mean, when she put out her announcement, one of the things she said was she wanted to bring more mass transit to Tarrant County. Now, if you see the mass transit we have now in Tarrant County, there's nobody on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, these trains drive down the street without a human being to the tune of, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars that we spend. So she wants to bring more of that. I don't. I don't support mass transit in Tarrant County, won't support mass transit in Tarrant County. I think she has some very liberal positions, or even don't even put labels up, political labels on them, just some very lacking in common sense positions and some unconstitutional positions and certainly not conservative positions that she is for. Now, contrast that with the Democrats, the other side of the aisle, if you will. Mm-hmm. I believe Democrats' view, I mean, and this is going to sound harsh to them, and of course they'll deny it, but I mean, government for many Democrats has taken the place of God in their eyes. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is what they worship. That is what they live for. That is what they eat, sleep, drink, and breathe. And, you know, they are constantly trying to push the needle and trying to push us in a different direction. And they create class warfare. You know, they tell us that, I mean, they're constantly comparing the races. And now we have this critical race theory, this anti-American, destructive, racist propaganda that says everything in America is all for the benefit of white people to the exclusion of everyone else. You can never get your fair shake. They never stop with this nonsense, and they divide us. And while doing so, it's all about power, and it's all about money, and it's all about control. And while these people, the Nancy Pelosi's of the world and the Chuck Schumer's of the world and Joe Biden of the world, I mean, they give their life to public service, and on the salaries they get, they can't become the multi-millionaires that they become, but they're all here for you.
Hey, don't exaggerate. Nancy Pelosi, I think, has only made $100 million since she's been in politics.
Just 100?
Not multi-hundreds of millions. Oh. She's only made $100 million from
her time. Being a public servant, only made that much? Yeah. Oh, that's a shame. That's a shame.
So what I would say that maybe one of the biggest differences between Republicans and Democrats is Republicans believe in personal responsibility, and Republicans believe you can make your own way. Democrats believe government is supposed to intervene or regulate every single aspect of your lives. Do you wear a mask? Do you not wear a mask? Can you go somewhere? Can you not go somewhere? Can you gather in groups of 10 or can you not gather in groups of 10? Can stadiums have people in them? They think they know best, and that they should be making these decisions as opposed to leaving it up to you and your family. They think they know what your kids should be taught and how they should be taught different, and it's not up to you. There's never been a bigger divide between what Democrats believe and what Republicans believe. But I think maybe the biggest difference of all right now is there's always been differences between the parties, but everybody was always pro-America and everyone always loved America. Now, many people on the Democrat side think America's an evil place, think it's a terrible place. They want to radically transform and change America into something that it isn't. That's the biggest difference. So I think that's contrasting the two parties, although between me and who's largely viewed as my chief opponent, there are very stark differences.
Sure, no, that makes total sense. And you kind of alluded to the lower tax burden in the explanation there, so I'm not going to hit that point. Let's move on to the next part of your platform, emergency management. Now, I don't want to bring up something that just happened all that long ago, but we had Snowmageddon.
Right.
And we all thought, you know, Texas would never face something like that. We wouldn't face the rolling blackouts. We wouldn't face almost a shutdown of a week. We always bragged upon the fact that we have our own power grid. We can take care of all this ourselves. Then a snowstorm hits, granted one that hadn't hit in like 100 years or whatever it was, and we figured out we couldn't do that. So emergency management being one of the key points of your platform, can you elaborate on what you want to do to maybe shore that up, strengthen that up, or what that point is on your platform?
Sure. So the biggest thing, which is where everybody became aware of what a county judge is and is capable of doing, is the mask mandates and the business closures and the church closures. So I will say it right here very plainly, very, very cleanly. There's no wiggle room in this. I will never support mask mandates. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you own a company and you want to have your employees wear a mask, have them wear masks. If you want your customers to wear masks, tell them they have to wear masks. I don't believe you and I have a right to go into Home Depot outside of their rules. They own the business, and if they say you're not coming in without a mask, okay, fine. Then I have a choice of saying I'll comply or I won't go to Home Depot. So I will never institute mask mandates. When it comes to declaring one business essential over another, how can anybody say one business is essential over another? For the person that runs that business is essential. It's essential for them. It's essential for their family. So the idea that some one person sitting behind a desk can decide one day, I'm going to close your business down, Mr. Insurance Salesman or Mr. Financial Advisor or Doctor or Five and Dime Store or whatever. But Walmart, you get to stay open. Home Depot, you get to stay open. Michael's, nope, you get to close. It's not something you would ever see me do. I will not declare one business essential over another, and I would never close down businesses. The other one that happened with many county judges throughout the state is closing down churches. So the Constitution is something that should still matter, and freedom of religion is not something that, unless there's a pandemic or we want to allow county judges to require mandates. I didn't see that anywhere in the Constitution. And if you want to gather with people to worship, then you have every right in the world to do that, absent government interference. So we went too far there. Now, I know the legislature has passed a law that says you can't do that anymore. You can't close down churches. Well, I would never close down a church. But how many times have we heard about a law like the legislature passed, I guess it was in 2019, their big property tax bill. And it said local governments can't raise your taxes. I think it's more than 3.5% without taking a public vote.
Right.
But then there's an exception to it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there's an exception to the church's thing or not, but whether there is or it isn't, I would never exercise it. I would opt for public service announcements, encouragements. Should we make vaccines available? Absolutely. Should we require vaccines? Absolutely not. You have a right to determine whether or not that's what you want to do or that's what's best for your family, not government doing it for you. Where government has gone, probably you can say over the course of American history, at an incredibly rapid pace over the last 5, 10, 15 years is just more and more infringements on your freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the encouraging thing is I am seeing people that typically they're not activists. They don't go to Republican clubs or Tea Party clubs or things like that, but just your everyday people that work for a living, raise their families, getting involved in political stuff, stepping up where they never have before. I'm seeing it all over Tarrant County with all the places I'm going and talking and meeting with voters, and I'm really encouraged by what I'm seeing. I think there is an uprising of people that are saying, hey, wait a minute. These aren't hard-charging, hardcore right-wing. These are just normal, everyday people that kind of just go along and whatever happens, happens is the way they are in politics. But they're standing up alongside the really hardcore right-wing people saying, we can't let this keep going. And I'm really encouraged by what I'm seeing.
Now, do you find that part of, I guess, the poisoning of young minds and becoming young voters is the teaching system, the education system generally in the United States, and you know, even irrespective of critical race theory, that, you know, there's a lot of almost cultural Marxism type principles passed on to kids that they're being indoctrinated, you know, to embrace the concept of socialism and, you know, ignore what people have told you about socialism doesn't work. It just hasn't been tried properly, you know, and all this, you know, meme stuff you see all over. But, do you think that's going to be harder and harder to combat as they get indoctrinated at an earlier age? And that's part of what this CRT uproar is about, is that you're exposing kids who would never even think about this stuff, that they've got to come down on one side or another when they're at an age where they're still trying to decide who their favorite superhero is.
Excellent point. What they're trying to do with things like critical race theory is they're trying to take young kids, they're trying to indoctrinate is what they're trying to do. But what in doing it, they're taking young kids who are just now learning to read, write, speak properly. They're just now learning how to think. And then we want them to be able to understand race relations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's absurd. And critical race theory, you mentioned it, I mentioned it earlier. I mean, it basically says America is evil and white people have all the advantages. It causes people to be divided, like most of Marxism does, and it creates racism, and it has you point fingers. We're all God's children, and we should all teach. We should teach that everyone is equal in the eyes of God, and that we all have special gifts and talents, and not put everybody in these boxes where we're divided up. So am I concerned about? Well, yes, any patriotic, God-fearing American would be if they knew anything about it. A lot of people don't know about it, but the word is getting out and people are standing up to take action. What is happening as a result of how public education keeps shifting farther and farther left is more and more Americans are pulling their kids out of public education. So they're sending them to private schools. They're doing homeschool. That's a byproduct of the way the public education has gone. And, you know, in Southlake, where I live, last summer, July 31st, they put out something called a Cultural Competence Action Plan that they were going to vote on. Mm. It was on a Friday, about 5 o'clock. They were going to vote on Monday. And no one in the community had seen the Cultural Competence Action Plan. Well, if you pulled it up and read it, which, you know, how many people really are looking at school board agendas?
Yeah.
You know, no one.
Yeah, and exactly.
Fortunately, no one. Some people here were, in Southlake were. And it was a 134-point action plan to bring cultural competence to South Lake Carroll schools. Now, what is cultural competence, you ask? It's not defined anywhere. It's just some bureaucrat's idea of what cultural competence ought to be. But it was a left-wing communist manifesto dream list of all the things we can put in our public schools that don't have anything to do with English, science, math, history. Fortunately, a group of us stood up and said, yeah, we're not letting this happen on our watch. And I formed an organization called South Lake Families, a political action committee. We raised over $250,000. We did 400-plus open records requests. We organized with multiple committees. We had a candidates committee. We recruited, interviewed candidates to run in the May school board election. We picked two people to do that for the two seats that were going to be open. We put them up, and we helped them win with 70% of the vote. So a group of patriotic, God-fearing, hardworking Americans stood up and said, you're not doing that in our town. And after we did that, and after we were successful and we won, people from all over the Metroplex, all over Tarrant County, and really all over the country were calling us saying, how'd you do it? What'd you do? Give us the blueprint. So I've been going around speaking to groups all over the county for the last, now probably 2.5 months, telling them how we did it, walking them through how you form a political action committee, what the requirements are, where you read the laws, how to get people to give money, how to make people aware, how to do open records requests, how to find out who would be a good candidate, getting them ready to run, gathering emails and support, using social media. And it's been a beautiful thing to see conservative, patriotic Americans come together and say, we're not going to do this here. And so what we were able to do in our little corner of Tarrant County, we hope will spread throughout Tarrant County. And from what I'm seeing now, it's happening.
Yeah. Right. One thing I find very confusing about the other side's tactics is for a party that has long, I guess, stood on a platform of no tolerance of bullying, that they now go to bullying tactics to try and enforce, you know, their point of view on somebody, such as thing with the vaccines. You know, if you don't
agree with us, there's something wrong with you.
If you don't accept CRT, then you're racist. And it's like threats. It's kind of playground threats. You know, if you don't think this, then you're this.
Well, yeah, you know, no, like you just put it, it's bullying.
It's bullying,
yeah, basically.
It's just kind of interesting how the whole...
even if you think about like the presidential elections and the debates and everything else, I mean, there was name calling and all that stuff. Yeah. I mean, politics is, it's starting to get a little dirty, but at the same time, it gets more interesting. Yeah. You know, it gets more people involved. Like you said, all of a sudden people are starting to come out of the woodwork and say, hey, this might be exciting. You know, and it takes something, I guess, terrible, like what was going on at the school board. Then they say, oh, well, now there's finally something interesting to go do because it's
you'd rather not get there, but
You'd rather not get there, but you know what? Extreme times come for extreme measures or whatever, and so now all of a sudden you get more people involved.
Well, that's why I think despite, you know, as tumultuous the last, you know, year and a half has been to an extent that some people are kind of happy because it's forced people to wake up and really take more notice of, you know, political overreach, trust in the media, where agendas, which they probably wouldn't have taken notice of before, how they've started pervading every form of media from social media in your kids' hands to a Super Bowl commercials. And so...
Well, you mentioned the way they do it. Tolerance is a one-way street for liberals.
Right, sure.
And even in Southlake, you know, so we had an American Airlines pilot who was on our side of it, of the battle, and was fighting the critical race theory. And liberals sent stuff in to American Airlines to try to get the guy fired.
Right.
And American Airlines actually had put out a statement about it and said they were going to do an investigation. Now, they cleared him of any wrongdoing, but that if you don't agree with me or believe the way we believe, and they think they're always right. Well, if you are against critical race theory, that means you are a white supremacist or you hate people of color or and we've got to stop you, you evil man. So people have caught on to the you're a racist thing. If you can hearken back to, you know, just I don't know, a handful of years ago, anytime a Republican office holder was called a racist, what'd they do? They apologized, they backtracked, they tiptoed. They're not doing that as much anymore. Right. They're saying, nah, I'm not falling for that garbage. And so now it's weakened that argument. We've heard it so often. I mean, the reality is, if you're a Republican office holder and you haven't been called a racist, you probably hadn't done a thing.
Sure, right.
You've just been waiting in the wings.
You've just been collecting your check and sitting back, fat and happy.
That's pretty much what we would do. You know, I mean, we just sit back there and collect the checks. So that would be us if we were in politics.
That. I kind of doubt that. Yeah.
So moving on, public safety. Public safety is one of your points on your platform. You want to talk a little bit about what you want to do with public safety?
Yeah, I can make this real simple. I back the blue. Are there a handful of bad apples in law enforcement? Sure there are. There is an overwhelming majority of wonderful people that sacrifice a lot and put a lot on the line to keep us safe. We need police. We need law enforcement. They need our support and backing. They're not the enemy. They're not the evil one. When there is a bad apple that goes astray and goes wrong, they deserve to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. But we've got to get away from teaching people they're the bad guys and give them our support. So you will always have, if I'm your county judge, you will always have someone who supports law enforcement in that office. Speaking of how that comes into play in Tarrant County. So right now our sheriff's department is understaffed and we have to get more people in the sheriff's department. Our district attorney's office, you know, I mean, you take a look at what happens when a county goes blue. You elect a district attorney like Dallas County who says, well, we're not going to prosecute people just for small crimes. So you steal something that's under a certain amount of money in Dallas County, you're not going to be prosecuted. Who in their right mind could possibly think that's a smart
thing
to do?
It's like $985 or something like that in San Francisco, and people have been taking shopping carts into Best Buy, clearing the whole
going into Target, just taking stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody does anything. I mean, what an idiotic notion. And so you will have someone who will make sure we have the law enforcement we need at the county level and that the district attorney has the resources that they need, that she needs, and that they need as prosecutors to make sure we keep our county safe.
Makes sense.
That was a simple one.
Yeah, no. Jobs. How are we going to get jobs to Tarrant County?
Okay. This one is the one that I think is so unbelievably important, that is so little attention is paid to it. We can decide what we want to be as a county. And do we want to be a county where we love that Western heritage, that individualism, that rugged Western culture where people are responsible for their own plot in life, where we reward hard work and risk-taking? Or do we want to look like every other big, giant urban area that's just government, 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 government? I say absolutely not. And we can choose the path we want to choose. So we need to go target the kind of companies we want in here, not any company that wants to come in the door. Oh, welcome, welcome, welcome. If Amazon or Facebook wants to come in here and open up a bad headquarters, I'm not for it. We know what that'll bring in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just take a look at Dallas County, I mean, just look at what's going on over there with the prosecutors. Look at what's going on in these big urban areas that are run by Democrats. They're all in financial ruin. So are we just going to sit here and just say, oh, company wants to come in, great, come on in, we don't care who you are, who you bring? No, I think that's the wrong way to do it. I think we have to know who's coming in here and go out and recruit the right ones. And if it's not the right ones, say, hey, I don't think you're a good fit for Tarrant County. It's not just about grow for the sake of growth. We want to have the right growth.
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense. Election integrity. I mean, that's still hitting the news, the audits of the elections and all that good stuff. Give us your points on election integrity.
Yeah, that's a biggie. So when I was Tarrant County Republican Party chairman from 2016 to 2018, when we had a general election, so do I believe Democrats cheat at the ballot box? Yes, I do. And when I was Republican Party chairman here in Tarrant County, for the first time in our county's history, and I think the only time, during a general election, we had a Republican election judge, alternate judge, or poll watcher at every single voting location in Tarrant County. Never been done before, for the purpose of trying to stop the cheating. In addition to that, I appointed multiple people to the ballot board, which gets in a room with people from the other party to look at ballots. I replaced some people, much to the chagrin of some longtime Republican Party folks, because they liked the people that I replaced. But the people I replaced, quite frankly, just they weren't fighters. And they weren't going to get in there and fight for what's right. They were going to say, oh, okay, they're going to be more go-along to get along. So I appointed a hard-nosed former fighter pilot to be the head of the ballot board and put a lot of good people on there that would go fight. So I've recognized for a long time that Democrats cheated the ballot box. The biggest issue I think we're running into now, it's not really a county judge or commissioner's court issue, it's more of a legislative issue, and it's the ballot harvesting going on through the mail-in ballots. Mm-hmm. That is what we need to change, because we've got Democrat operatives all over the state going out and getting people to sign to get a mail-in ballot and then going back to them when the ballot should arrive and helping them fill it out. We've got, I mean, there's evidence of people being registered to vote at a place that's not even a home, but multiple people there. I mean, we've got to take it seriously. I just in the last, I think this was last Friday. Sometime last week, I worked to set up a meeting between a group of people in Tarrant County doing their own investigation and the district attorney's office to bring them what they had to look and do an investigation, and they got that information, and I think they're now investigating it, and it wouldn't surprise me if you see multiple prosecutions coming from out of that. We absolutely have to make sure people trust that when their vote is made, that it's going to be counted and that fake votes aren't going to be counted. Biggest piece of it right now is the mail-in ballot harvesting that's going on. That's a legislative issue, and I think they are trying to do some things. If it weren't for the Democrats that ran off to D.C. and Portugal mm-hmm. on vacation, wherever they're going, we have to take it seriously. And any time we see any evidence of it, we got to report it, we got to investigate it, and if there's something there, we have to prosecute it.
So we want to keep voting at a state level as well, right? I know there's a talk about moving all of the elections to a federal level and getting rid of states looking at that Do you ever see that happening? Because, I mean, just an outsider looking in, not knowing that much about politics, I could say, well, that'll never happen because you have all these state elections too. Mm-hmm. And so how's the federal government going to turn around and, you know, babysit all these state elections?
Yeah, so A, I don't think we want to federalize elections, but B, we darn sure don't want to do it while the people that are in charge now in Washington, D.C. are in charge.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Taxpayer-funded lobbying.
Yes.
So I always looked at lobbying as a interest group, whether it's a special interest or a business, you know, say, hey, we have a podcast, and so we want to take a bunch of money that we have. I think we now have $14. I think so. We're going to take our $14. We're going to buy a lobbyist, so we'll get what, 30 seconds out of that lobbyist to run to the government and say this is going to be the official podcast of the state of Texas, and then they say, well, no, it's not, and then we're not. But I was always under the assumption, right, that lobbying was always done by private interest, private groups. You're saying taxpayer-funded lobbying, you want to put a stop to it. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Is that a thing, and what is our issue there?
Yeah, it's absolutely a thing. So everybody knows what a lobbyist is. Lobbyist goes to the legislature, to Congress, and tries to get them to pass a bill or add something to a bill or not pass a bill or change something in a bill or change a law. So private companies hire lobbyists all the time to try to go get a law in place that'll benefit the company. Whether or not that's a good thing or not, that's a different question. But we have governmental entities in Texas, all over the state, at every level of government, that with your taxpayer money, with the money that you sent in for your property taxes or your sales taxes, they then take your money and go hire lobbyists to then go down to Austin or go up to DC to try to get more money back to these governments. I mean, the idea that a government can go spend your money to hire someone to go make you have to pay more money is absurd. And that's another something that my chief opponent, I don't want to say my only opponent, but my chief opponent in the Republican primary, Ms. Price, she came out when Governor Abbott listed that as one of his signature priorities to deal with, and she came out and was against it. I am 100% against it, and at the county level, if I'm elected, we won't do it anymore, period. Now, that may require 3 votes. If I'm the only say-so in it, we won't do it. If it requires 3 votes, then I will work very hard to get 2 other votes. But I'm always a no taxpayer-funded lobbying from our county government, period. The other piece of that is I will go work with our legislators, and I will be someone at the local level that stands up and says, they're right. We shouldn't be doing this. Let's pass a bill to stop it and pass it immediately. And I will try to gather more support from local officials. Ms. Price, on the other hand, adamantly against it, thinks we should have taxpayer-funded lobbying.
Taxpayer-funded lobbying seems like my wife trying to talk me into buying tickets to, like, the opera. And so then I do it, and then she's like, okay, so now that you did that, now you have to go buy me a new dress, and now you have to take me out to dinner, so now you got to spend even more money. You know, it's basically kind of almost that same thing.
That's called marriage.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So. All right. Well, fair enough. All right. One of the last points, infrastructure and roads. Now, this was not planned ahead, but
the boring part of the job.
But no, let's be honest. Before you got here, we sent you a text and you said, I'll be there shortly. I'm stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
And I said, isn't that kind of ironic how we wanted to talk about infrastructure and roads and he's supposed to be here at a certain time and he's stuck in traffic and we're right close to I-35 and I think I-35 has been under construction for at least 75 to 100 years, something right. like that. Is it yes. ever going to, no. you know, is it ever going to get
never.
Done?
Yeah.
So what are we going to do about infrastructure and roads?
You know, that's a great question, and it's probably the single most difficult thing to tackle in terms of how the voters feel about it. So, do y'all want more toll roads? No, who does? Nobody wants more toll roads. So everybody says no more toll roads. But then they also don't want their taxes to go up.
Well, now, I will say...
But then they want no traffic.
But I will say this about toll roads. I'm for toll roads if we could get rid of the speed limits. So we make them just like the Autobahn. So, yeah, you've got to pay to be on that road, but yeah. Then there's no speed limit. I think that'd be fun.
It might be fun, but that might also be dangerous. So
I mean, down in Austin, we got that one that's 85 miles an hour. I mean,
do we have an 85 mile an hour toll road in Austin?
Yeah, we do. There's one that's 80 and one that's 85. So let's just open these Autobahns and let us just go the speed limit that we're already driving when there's no traffic.
You know, we take my family. I'm married with four kids, four girls, all ages 10 and under.
I'm sorry.
It's never boring.
No, house. No wonder you're running for office. Yeah. You got to take a break from all that.
Gotta get out of the house.
Yeah, there you go.
So we take a road trip every summer, and I can't remember where we were. It was either Wyoming or it was South Dakota, but there was a freeway the speed limit was 80 miles an hour. It was the highest I'd ever seen. So as you can guess, everybody's going 85, 90 miles an hour. I mean, you are flying through there. But anyway, back to the question. That's a difficult issue. Now, the way we have it set up in Tarrant County, every commissioner has their own roads budget. So it's not every commissioner gets to decide how to spend their roads budget. There's a lot of city needs a new road, county will go in with them 50-50. But it's not a universal, we decide what's best for Tarrant County. Each one decides. Now, it's still got to be approved by Commissioner's Court, but each one decides how to go. So the commissioners don't like they have their own road crew that they're responsible for. They have their own road grader. The commissioners don't like the idea of you taking that away from them. Okay? They want that.
Oh, you mean they don't want to lose power?
There you go. But there are some counties, like Collin County is one of them, even Bexar County did it. There's some counties where that is combined under one department. So now there's money savings on machinery. There's money savings on pensions and benefits. That's something that I think we have to look at. It's something that I'm for, but right now, knowing the makeup of the Commissioner's Court, I don't think there's three votes for that. Now, there's some new people running for Commissioner's Court. There's a couple people stepping down. There's going to be at least one person 2 years from now that steps down. There's a Democrat in one precinct that we're trying to get replaced with a Republican. So there may be some changes, and who knows what January of 23 may look like or January of 25. But I think long term, it'll benefit Tarrant County if that's combined into one department, and it will save us money. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Tim, glad you could join us. Can you give everybody just a quick rundown of how to get a hold of you, how to find out more information about your campaign and all of these good things, maybe even make a campaign donation, something like that?
We're not turning those listeners. Down.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so my website is electtimohare.com, all one word, no apostrophe, electtimohare.com. You can like us on Facebook where we post regular updates almost daily. Tim O'Hare for Tarrant County Judge. And you can email me personally at info@electtimohare.com. You can follow me on Twitter @TimothyO'Hare. And we would love to have more people sign up for our emails and like our Facebook page so we can let you know what's going on. And we promise you that what we put out is accurate. It's no spin. It's honest. And I think there's a lot of good information for people to see. But I really appreciate you guys having me on. I've enjoyed it. It's been
fun.
Thank
you, Tim.
Yeah, thank you so much, Tim. And that will do it for this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. And by the way, on our website, we will have all of Tim's info as well. So be sure, if you didn't catch all that, to check that out on our website with all his links and everything. Tim, so glad you could join us. And that will do it for this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. And we will catch you on the next one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd podcast. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, thewolfandtheshepherd.com, to your friends and colleagues. And please leave us a positive review on iTunes when you get a chance. Check us out on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for additional content. Join us next time for another episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd.